celebrate your name and to celebrate every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven. So right now, we just thank you for the blessing of the Lord that has made us rich, that you add no sorrow to. And right now, as we receive revelation knowledge from your word today, we ask that you would also grant us wisdom to apply every word to our life. And as we apply every word, we thank you for the strength to stand on the word until we see it manifest mightily. And we thank you that everything you show us, Lord, we will teach to the nations and impart wisdom and truth wherever we go. So we give you praise and glory for these things. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it today. In Jesus' great and precious name, amen. Amen. We've been talking about foundations. So turn to your neighbor and say, foundations of the faith. And with foundations of the faith, what we've been talking about last week specifically is we're talking about the connection that we have with God through the covenant of salvation. There's an agreement that God has made with us concerning salvation. And when you understand that you have a covenant with God based on your salvation, not of works, but by the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you understand that, it liberates your life. It takes away a lot of things, a lot of obstacles in your life. And the more real that truth becomes in your spirit, the more real your walk with God becomes day to day. So as we are entering into understanding deeper the foundations, we're not trying to get to real, far out, sophisticated truths that are beyond our ability to apply. We want to get to the Word of God that comes to us and hits us where we are so that when we wake up in the morning, we know what to do today. Amen? Because you know what? You can be as deep as you want to be. You can have as far out revelation as you desire. But if you can't put a use to it, you might as well be a philosopher. So I'm going to put a Play-Doh sticker on your chest and you can go find somewhere and talk to Socrates and you can have all the philosophy you want if that's what you want. But if you want to live and you want to walk with God and you want to be in a position where every day you spend your day with God and you walk with God and every moment is a moment that you and your Creator, not a stranger, but your Creator are able to walk together, then we want to embrace the foundations that He lays so that we can have the relationship we desire to have with God. Because a person who is separated from their Creator will always be searching for something. Always. I know that from my own life, is that when I was searching for things, it didn't make me a difference where it was. If I was searching, I was just looking. Searching for things. Always trying to find out how something works. Always trying to find out where does this come from. Always asking, full of questions, always trying to figure everything out. Until I had an encounter with God who helped me understand you don't have the capacity to receive the answers to the questions you have. In other words, you're asking questions so big, you can't, if I gave you the answer, you can't handle it. When kids are small and mom is pregnant, little kid wants to know, where do babies come from? And so you try to explain it to them and you make up something. So when I was a kid, they said, it's the birds and the bees. We're gonna explain the birds and the bees to you. I still don't know what the birds and the bees have to do with babies. After they told me all them stories, I still don't get it. Why? Because they're trying to take something and build me an illustration of something that I don't have the capacity to understand. I can't understand. You can't explain to a child what is going on and how a baby's created. They don't have the ability to understand. However, we want to know things from God that we can't understand. And we won't respond to God until God gives us an answer we want, but the truth is, we can't handle the truth. We can't fully grasp the truth. Sometimes the truth is so far beyond us that sometimes we just have to walk by faith. See, God doesn't want us to walk by faith because he wants us not to think or not to use your mind. God needs us to walk by faith because there's some things God can't explain to you. when we had something going on and we were, you know, day-to-day life, and a crisis happens. And so Tammy and I have to take one of our children to the hospital. One of the other children wants to know, what happened? What happened? What happened? You know, I would like to explain it to you right now, but I don't have time to explain it to you right now. So sometimes you're asking God, what happened? What happened? God's saying, we don't have time to explain it. Sometimes you just need to walk by faith. You need to just obey in the moment. Eventually, it will be revealed. But right now is not time for answers. So the Christian life is about learning how to understand when God is giving us clarity and when God is requesting that we walk without that clarity and obey anyway. And the test of our walk is going to be when we don't understand, can we still walk with God? So last week we talked about a couple of things. So we got a little summary from last week. So let's pull this up and let's take a look. A couple of things we talked about last week. The covenant of salvation has a few things that we want to be aware of. The very first thing is that man was created by God. In Genesis chapter 1, we read this during the wedding. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. And when man was created, he created man in his image and he gave man dominion. He gave man dominion over the earth. But the problem for man is that once that dominion was given to him, not long after that, man made a critical error and fell. Now, the key here is when God created man in his own image, there's a couple of things that God did. First of all, God created the whole world for man. The whole world was created for man. And he granted man dominion over that world that he created for him. The second thing is that while there were great resources in the earth, unless man was there to use them, it really didn't make any difference. The other thing is that God made man in his image because God was expecting man to be in partnership with him. Me and my dog are not partners. Okay? Why are me and my dog not partners? Me and my dog are not partners because I don't speak dog. We don't speak the same language. We're not the same. We're not created the same. So my communication is, Zora, go. And the dog most of the time looks at me. Why? Because he's a dog. He's not made like me. And so we're trying to communicate, but we're not really communicating. If somebody says they know what's on their dog's mind, you don't know what's in your dog's mind. Why? Because your dog don't think like you. Why? Because your dog's not made like you. However, when God created man, he created him in his image, so that man would think like God. And when God spoke to man, man would understand God. So we're not just different, we're created in the same image. Created in the image of the Creator. That's why when you put two people somewhere in a remote place, they're gonna start building stuff. Why? Because that's what God does. God is a creator. So when you put two people together, they start creating stuff. They start making tools, or they start making this and making that. And eventually they're going to realize they need to worship something bigger than themselves. And they're going to set up some form of worship. That's why every time they discover a new civilization, the one thing that's common to everyone is they have some form of worship. Why? Because that's what's in man. It's how we're made. It's how we're created. We're going to worship something no matter what. Even if we don't know who God is, we're going to worship something. Because that's how we're created. So number two is, let's go to number two. The fall of humanity through Adam gave Satan legal dominion over the earth. So when man fell, Satan was granted permission to do whatever he wanted to do. Because when someone's in authority and they are removed, then whoever steps into that place now has authority. So when man was given dominion and he moved because of his fall, Satan moved in and Satan controls the world system. Now this is spiritual. When Jesus was driven into the wilderness and tempted by the devil came to Jesus and said, listen, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, because they have been given to me, and I can give them to whoever I want. And Jesus never says, that's a lie, shut up, Satan. What Jesus says is, I won't worship you. Which indicates that it's true. Satan is over the world. Satan raises up who he wants to raise, and he puts down who he wants to put down. However, Jesus recognized, I don't have to worship you in order to regain what I'm called to have. So we don't have to bow down to Satan in order to get things back. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? All right. Because of his legal rulership, Satan expresses his dominion. And Christians have to learn this next point, which is number three. The covenant of salvation is redemption through Jesus Christ. So we have redemption. We are bought back. And when we're bought back, we are given what Jesus began expressing in the New Testament as the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he starts talking about the kingdom. He starts speaking about the kingdom. He starts teaching his disciples that there's a kingdom from heaven that's separate from the kingdom of this world. See, they looked at Jesus as a man who was going to bring them to physical restoration, because the Jewish people of the time were enslaved in way. Well, they were ruled by, not they weren't slaves, but they were ruled by the Greeks. Excuse me, the Romans. I got to get my stuff together here. They're ruled by the Romans. They're under Roman rule. They're not feeling free. They're paying taxes to the Romans. They're doing all kinds of things. They think Jesus is coming to set them free from paying taxes. But Jesus is coming to set them free deeper than that. He's coming to set them free in their hearts. Coming to set them free in their minds. And when you're free in your mind, when you are free in your mind, taxes aren't the issue. See, in the United States, when the Emancipation Proclamation is signed, and all the slaves in the United States are now free, you know what the problem is? I'm free, but I don't have anything. I'm free, but I don't own anything. I'm free, but I don't have anywhere to go. I'm free, but I don't know what it means to be free. I'm free, but what am I supposed to do now? All I know is run for the north. Well, wait a minute, I'm free. I don't have to run for the north. What am I supposed to do? See, when you're granted freedom, there's still a process you have to go through in order to not just be free, but to walk free. And you gotta first get your mind right about what it means to be free. Otherwise, you'll continue to do what you did when you were a slave. So my family, I did some genealogical studies. I got a chance to do some studies. And so I was tracking back my family, and in the 1800s, some people left the South. My family stayed in the South. My family didn't leave the South until 1940-something. And when they left and they came to California, my mother was only 5 or 6 years old. So my mother's just getting ready to start school. So my grandparents sit down with my mother after having left Arkansas that was segregated. They come to California. The schools are integrated, but they have their 5-year-old daughter getting ready to go to school. So what's the first thing they're going to teach their daughter? You're going to school in an integrated school. Don't say, be quiet. Because you can't talk around people who are not black. Why? Because in Arkansas, we couldn't talk around people who weren't black. So now we're in California. Those rules don't apply, but because those are the rules I know, I teach those rules. Not because I want to be wrong, because that's what I know. I teach those rules. And so my mother was 66 years old, and me and her are sitting down having a conversation, and she said, I don't understand why my parents didn't encourage me when I was in school. And the Holy Spirit sent me the revelation. He said, they tried to protect you. They didn't encourage you to say certain things because that was not where they came from. Where they came from, you needed to be quiet. So no, they didn't encourage you because they were building a hedge around you, except the hedge was no longer the same. See, in the body of Christ, if you don't understand what it means to be redeemed, you will live like you're in Arkansas even though you're in California. If you take the mentality that was your mentality from where you were into where you are, you will not benefit from the blessing that you have where you are. So our job is not to get deep revelation. Our job is to get foundational revelation, to know who you are, to know what you have access to know what you have ability to receive, to know what you have freedom. When I grew up, I thought going to church was bondage. Man, I gotta go to church. Man, I can't do nothing. I gotta sit there. Oh, man. Church was terrible, horrible. I don't wanna go. I didn't know they were teaching me how to be free. I didn't know they were explaining to me how to live. I didn't know that. So I hated it because I didn't understand it. Because I was a sinner in saints' clothing. I didn't know God. My mother knew God, but I didn't know God. So I hated being in church. I needed to have my own relationship with God. I needed to have my own connection with God. I needed to have my own experience with God to know that this word that God has is teaching me how to live. It's teaching me how to walk free. It's teaching me how to go past the obstacles in life and receive the Holy Spirit that gives me answers. It gives me answers on how to walk through things. It teaches me how when I got a boss who's giving me the business at work, that I have dominion. Y'all didn't like that? You got people in your life who are causing you grief, but you have dominion. But you got to learn how to use the dominion. Because otherwise, you're being taught to be quiet. All right. The covenant of salvation is redemption through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews chapter 7, both of them kind of get into the fact that Jesus is our great high priest, and he has given us something new. He's given us a new covenant. All right, let's go to the next thing, number four here. Point number four is what we're going to focus this next 10 minutes on. The covenant of salvation is a better covenant based on better promises. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Now last week we read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And when we read there, we saw that through the law of Moses, that the Jewish people were given some promises. And these promises they were given were conditional promises. God said, if you do this, I'll do that. And that's what they could do. They had to follow the whole law in order to get the promises of God. New covenant, we have something different. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. A couple of things we want to point out here. Number one, you have been given exceedingly great and precious promises through Christ. So not through the law, but through Christ. So you can take the Ten Commandments and you say, if I obey the Ten Commandments, God's going to bless me. Not necessarily. Because the commandments are not a promise. What's a promise is that in Christ, God will bless your life. That he's changing you, making you somebody in Christ. Well, what are these commandments? They're the guidelines. They're the things you need to know and live by. You need to know it's not right to kill. You need to know it's not right to want what your neighbor has. You need to know it's not right to do this and that. You need to know it's not right, but you also need to understand that if you do all those things and you don't know God, you don't have a covenant with God. Everywhere the New Testament mentions the phrase "in him" is God confirming his promises to us. Everywhere the Bible says in him we have redemption. In him we have life and life more abundantly. Everywhere that word says that, it is in the New Testament telling us what you have in Christ, what you have in God. You have to know that in him you have certain things, but you have to receive those knowing that it's a new life and you may have to do something different to access it. Like I said, my mother is born in Arkansas. You come to California. If you bring that to where you are, you don't have the benefit. And listen, I'm not comparing my mother to this. Don't get this wrong when I say this. This is Beverly Hillbillies. You can pick up the truck and move from there, but if you bring that truck to Beverly Hills, you still got the same truck. You're still going to be hunting possum. You're going to be doing the same things. Like I said, nothing wrong with that, but it's a different environment. It's a different life. And you have to understand that if you coming out of the life, you got to leave the life. You got to come all the way into the new life. You got to enter fully into the new life. Enter fully into the new life. Now listen, here we go. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith, you receive the promises of the Spirit. In other words, you have to believe what God says and take action on what you believe. Now, if you tell me, Derry, there's a cherry cheesecake in your refrigerator when you get home. If I believe you, then when I go through the door, I'm going right to the refrigerator. Why? Because I like cherry cheesecake. And if you tell me there's one in there, if I believe you, I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm taking action. And I might stop by the counter real quick and pick up a knife before I go to the refrigerator, just so I don't have to waste no time when I get in there. Because if I believe, then I'm going to take action on things. If I don't believe, or if I don't care about what the promise is, then I won't pursue it. So when God is saying, in him, in Christ, we have the blessing of Abraham coming upon our lives, then it's our interest to find out what is the blessing of Abraham. Because if it's promised to me, the Spirit is promised to me through faith, then if I want that Spirit, I need to pursue it. By faith. Now, let's go to Ephesians 2 and 8. Your salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should brag. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, how does this all fit together? Very simple. We're all here at church because we're either know God, have been exposed to God, or we have some thought about God's word or how we're living. And we have either questions or we're seeking answers or we know certain things. We're all here because of one, some level or another, there is the presence of God either talking to us or in us. Would that be correct? So if that's the case, and God is saying, here's the gateway to salvation. Salvation is not by your works. You can't do enough. You can't speak enough. You can't give enough. You can't labor enough. You can't be good enough. You can't do that. All you can do is receive this grace of God by faith. Believe that God is given you grace. Believe that God has given you faith. And as he's given that, to receive it. And by that, I'm saved. Not by anything else. It's the grace of God plus nothing else. Believe God and I'm saved. Would everybody agree with that? Has everybody accepted that? So if you've accepted that, how do you deal with rejection? If you've accepted Christ and you know that you're saved and you know that God's hand is on you, how do you deal with rejection? How do you deal with things from our past? How do we deal with things that seem like they're in our lives and they can't, they shouldn't really be there? How do we deal with that? Now we start to get down deeper into it. Because salvation is the doorway that we come through into the presence of God. But now our lives need our discipleship, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we start pressing deeper into the things of God to start dealing with the things that the adversary who has dominion over this world will continue to throw in your way to get you not to believe what God has promised you. You see, your life is filled with things that are thrown by your spiritual adversary to get you not to accept God's presence in your life. I've seen many people give their life to the Lord, release things to God, and then after the voices keep coming back and saying, you know what, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. You can't really be saved. You know what? Matter of fact, if you were really saved, resist this. If you're really saved, try to fight this off. And those things come at you, and the enemy starts to get us to doubt our salvation, doubt our positioning, doubt what we believe in our heart about God himself. And when those doubts come, we finally just say, if we don't get reinforced, we finally say, it's just like Arkansas. I'm just going to be quiet. That's the adversary's job, is to silence you, to silence the voice that you've been given. See, you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You have something special about you. You are one of a kind, and God made you to be one of a kind. He made you unique. He made you special. He made you with his own hands. He formed Adam from the dust of the ground with just the right things he wanted. He made him just the way he wanted. Then he said, now I'm going to shape a woman just the way I want her. He made them male and female in his image, perfect. And when Christ comes, your perfection is redeemed. Whether you accept it or not is up to you. But your perfection is restored in him. But then what happens is you see your own fleshly errors or your own fleshly challenges, and you start to judge yourself by what you say rather than what God said. I don't judge myself by what I think. I judge myself by what God says. Because why? His ways are higher than my ways. He can see things I can't see. When I'm looking at myself saying, man, I'm too tall to be walking around here, man. God says, nah, you're just right. You're the way I made you. I need you to be this height. I need you to be this size. I need you to be this shade. I need you to be whatever. Why? Because it's in my plan for you to be that way. You've been made a certain way. You've been made just right. You got just the right skills and talents for what I've called you to do. You have just the right makeup and demeanor and personality to do what I've called you to do. You got just the right attitude to do what I called you to do. But most of the time in the church, we're so busy trying to be nice Christians that we are dulling down what God made in us. And we're afraid to be what we really are. A holy version of what we really are. So if you got a short fuse, then find something to blow up on that ain't gonna make people mad. If you're emotional, fine, be emotional. Be it unto the Lord. Whatever you are, be what you are as unto the Lord. Why? Because you've been made a certain way. You've been made just right by the hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In him you are certain things. I need you to ask yourself, do you believe in him you are certain things? In him, do you believe you are what this says? Are you blessed? I only heard a few people say it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. All right. See, I'm going to see if y'all mean it in a minute. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. Say, I'm chosen. Turn to your neighbor. Look him in the eyes when you say it this time. Say, I am chosen. Mm-hmm. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now turn to him again. Say, I was chosen before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I am without blame. All right, now, I'm going to see. I'll see if y'all believe this in a second. Come on. Before him in love, having predestined us. Say, I was predestined.
I was predestined.
Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Say, I am a son or daughter of God. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will. Next verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Turn to your neighbor, say, I am accepted. Oh Lord, I am accepted in the beloved. So I ask the question, how do you deal with rejection? See, some of the things that stop us from moving forward is that somewhere in that sense of rejection, what somebody gonna say, what somebody's gonna think, is it perfect enough? Is it ready? Is it you know, I got an idea, but it ain't ready yet. People can't see it. You know, am I talking to anybody in the room? How are you going to deal with rejection? How you deal with the fear? How do you deal with that stuff? Well, you got to get back here and you got to say, in him I am redeemed. In him I am accepted. In him I am beloved. In him I am adopted. I'm predestined. You got to live your life knowing that's true. Even if nobody else around you can see it. Sometimes you just got to know that God's hand is on you and forget everybody else. Sometimes you just got to know, man, I'm blessed. I walk in anointing. Even if nobody says, I've never seen your anointing. Well, fine, that's you. Not worried about what you see. I'm worried about what God says. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to nail this down right now. Take a look at the screen here. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware, because somebody's going to try to cheat you out of what God's telling you. They're going to give you some philosophy. They're going to give you some traditions of men. They're going to give you some things to cheat you out of what God's word says about you. Are you from where? Okay. Our son handed us an article last night. It was on the internet about this lady, a meteorologist. So she's a meteorologist, and she has a natural hairdo, African-American lady. So she got a natural hairdo, and somebody wrote into the station saying, yeah, she's nice and all, but that's a little extreme. So they wrote it to her, sent an email to her. So actually it was a Facebook message to the station. So she responded, thank you for your viewpoint, but my hair doesn't have anything to do with the quality that I provide. Da 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 da. See, answer just right, right? Ain't getting caught up in it. So somebody else got a problem. They're going to send a message. And so the station ends up firing this lady. That's what I said. They fired her because they said she was too extreme. Now, if you don't know who you are, if you don't understand who you are, then that rejection will start making you check yourself and question whether or not you're who you really are. It'll have you start questioning about yourself. You know, well, can I really, do I have to just fit in? Do I have to just be? Do I have to just do? Do I have to just? It's like people come to me, they don't do it now. Originally, when there was a lot of conversation around California voting about gay marriage. And a lady, I was on the ferry one day, and the lady says to me, say, you understand. I said, understand what? I don't even know you. Who are you? Why are you talking to me? You understand. Don't you think that this is just like African-Americans being discriminated against? I said, I told her this. I said, I always tell people, don't ask questions you don't want my answer to. I'm willing to be quiet if you leave me alone, but if you ask me a question, you better want to know what I have to think. Because I will be very diplomatic in how I say it, but I'm going to say it. I might even say it with a big smile on my face, but I'm going to say it. I said, no, it's not. Well, you should understand. You're African American. I said, I do understand. I am African American. I understand that some people see me and go the other way. But I also know that some people can just fit in and then nobody knows anything. I don't know who you are. I don't know you like that anyway. I'm sure about sexuality of one person, mine's. Everybody else, I don't know what you do. I can judge your exterior, but that's not the truth. Nobody knows the spirit of man except the spirit that's on the inside of him. I'm the only one I know. And because me and my wife are one, I know her. I'm with you, baby. I got you. But beware lest somebody cheat you through philosophy. Somebody trying to persuade you that you should not be the Christian that you are, that you should not be allowed to live your faith, that you should not be able to say what God says. Beware lest somebody cheat you and try to hold you back from entering into the promises of God because they want you to fit into a hole, fitting you to a little round peg. I'm not round. and I'm not planning to get round. So if that's the only one you got for me, this ain't the place for me. I'm cool. You have to understand that God is making us accepted. Don't be deceived. Don't let somebody cheat you. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am complete. Say it again. I am complete. Complete means you lack nothing. Complete means that you don't need anything else besides what you have. Complete means that no matter what else is going around you, outside input does not make you whole. Other people's validation does not make you whole, because in Him, you are complete. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am complete. If I don't have a job, I'm complete. If I'm broke, I'm complete. I'm complete. My question is now, how do I take what I have been completed in and how do I let God work that thing? How do I let God begin to work the thing that's in me? How do I let, not what somebody else is going to do for me or help me with, what am I going to let God release out of me to do what He has for my life? Because I'm complete in Him. I am 100% complete. I'm complete as a pastor. You know why? Because I'm complete in Him. And if He told me to do it, that means He's going to equip me to do it. It means not even that He's going to equip me to do it. It means I'm already equipped to do it. If you are working somewhere and you're struggling, you need to slow down what you're doing. You need to say, Lord, I thank You that I'm complete in You. I thank You, Lord, that You've given me the mind of Christ. I thank You, You reveal every secret to me. I thank You, Lord, that You give me understanding that my peers do not have access to. I thank You, Lord, You give me understanding. And then open your eyes and do what you got to do and watch God do something mighty in you. If you're struggling as a parent, back up. Lord, I'm complete in You. I thank You that You've given me wisdom. You give me the book of Proverbs as my guide to wisdom. And Lord, I have all wisdom available to me. I thank You I have the wisdom to be the parent that You call me to be. I thank You right now. My children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of my children. My children will raise up and do mighty things in the Lord in Jesus' name. Why? Because You've given me the ability to raise them up in Your way. And when You train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from. When they were old, they will return. Why? Because God is the one who gives us wisdom. God gives us understanding. God shows us how to do what we got to do. God is giving us every good and perfect gift. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, He's made available to us. Every single thing. Last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. Now, we did a wedding this morning, right? Husbands and wives. Husbands and wives, the greatest blessing in the world. Also, the most opportunity for strife and fights and whatever else. You know why? Because the potential for blessing is also the same potential for destruction. So you have to protect it. So you have to cover it. You have to do something with it. You can't just let it grow, because it ain't going to grow. Because if you leave ground empty, you don't get a desired harvest. You get whatever the wind blows into it. So marriages have to be tended to. They have to be taken care of. And to the extent that I care for my marriage is the extent that we have conflict. And sometimes we do have conflict. Amen? Amen, amen, brother. Got one brother on my side in here. Marriage is what we make of it. It is what we build together. But you have to take marriage the same way we take everything else. You have to know that I am complete in Him. I'm a complete husband. I am a complete husband. You have to make that declaration. I'm a complete father. I'm a complete husband. Now, Father, reveal to me exactly what I need to do to make my marriage work. Reveal to me what I need to do in order to help my situation, in order for me to walk out with the faith that God has given me. You got to take every area of your life and lay it before the Lord. You have to know that God is wanting to bless you. God is wanting to do, but he can't bless what we don't give him. He can't bless what we hide back. He can't bless what we reserve. He can only bless what's offered to him. When it's offered to him without strings. Sometimes the string is, Lord, I will stay on this job unless they push this one button. And if they push this button, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm cool. If they leave this button alone, I'm cool. But my child, I put you there. Yes, Lord. Yeah, absolutely, Lord. Yes, I love you with all my heart. Yes, Lord. You did put me here. Thank you, Lord. And when they put that finger on that button, you may love Lord, but you're getting out of here. Amen? I know, they pushed my button too. I'm ready to go. I'm saying all this to say this. There are challenges facing the world. And it's not time for the church to play church. It's time the church to know who they are, know what they have access to, and walk in it, because everything around you is going to tell you not to. The world system is going to tell you not to do what God told you to do. The world system is going to try to get you to be what you're not and not what you are. The world system is going to try to get you to fit into a label, and you have to know who you are so that you don't try to fit, that you just be. The prophet Daniel was put into a group of people and told how to act and how to be. He said, nope, I'm not going to eat what y'all eat. God told us what to eat. I'm not going to eat what you eat. So matter of fact, you're my trainer. I want you to test me. Give me what I tell you God told me to have, and you come back and test me and see whether we are both, me and my friends are both stronger, smarter, and fatter than everybody else. Test it. It's true. What God said worked. And they raised up. And they held their faith all the way in an environment that was anti their faith, was doing everything they can to strip them of their faith. And you need to know that the world is trying to strip you of your faith right now. Stand on your feet, please, real quick. Grab your neighbor's hand real quick. And I want you to say these things real quick with me. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
I'm predestined.
I'm predestined.
I'm filled with faith.
I'm filled with faith.
I'm strong in the Lord.
I fear nothing.
God has given me,
not the spirit of fear,
but power, love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have a clear mind. And God speaks to me, and I hear him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your people. We thank you, Lord, that your blessing would be on them. Lord, that you would touch every person in this room, that you would speak to them songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Fill them with joy in their hearts before the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for breaking every yoke of bondage that the enemy would bring against them. Every lying voice that comes to them tries to persuade them with empty deceit and philosophy. But we thank you for the Christ, the blood of Jesus that was shed before the foundation of the world. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus that has given us freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive into our hearts and minds the freedom of God right now in every area of our life. We withhold nothing from you. We give you our very wounds and burdens right now in the name of Jesus. We give you everything that the enemy's tried to destroy us with. And we thank you that you will not allow any weapon formed against us to prosper. Hallelujah, we thank you that every tongue that's arisen against us in judgment, we will condemn. That it will be cast down in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for opening doors before people in this room right now that others cannot close. We thank you for the favor of God being on us, Lord, as we accept who you've made. made us to be. We thank you for revealing to us the inner man, the man that's on the inside of us. Thank you for revealing the truth about who we are. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I can't persuade. Only you can show. Reveal to the hearts of everyone here truth. Yes. Yes, Lord. Reveal yourself, Lord. If anyone in here is doubting your existence, reveal yourself, Lord. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Hallelujah. Yes, reveal yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for showing yourself strong right now. Reveal your way right now. Reveal yourself, Lord. We thank you for revealing yourself. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. Thank you right now for your revelation right now. And we're chasing after you. Yes. Reveal yourself as we pursue your faith. Reveal yourself, reveal yourself. We seek your face, so reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. We give our minds to you. We give our hearts to you. Reveal yourself. Receive your heavenly language. I want you to just pray in the spirit real quick. I believe God's going to do something in a minute here. Yes, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself, oh God. Reveal yourself. We give ourselves to you. We worship you. Seek your face. Yes. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you've been seeking the Lord will reveal himself to you. He reveals himself by truth. He reveals himself by the tugging of your heart. Hallelujah. If you're here today and your heart is being tugged, you feel pulled right now, you kind of feel like, man, I want to know God in a deeper way. I want you to just lift your hands. It doesn't require anybody to touch you. It just requires us to just say, yes, Lord. Reveal.